Hey, it's Kiefer once again coming to you backstage at Bonnaroo. I've got Aaron and Matt from The National visiting with us. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The album is called Trouble Will Find Me, and you have said that this is the sound of despair. What makes that emotion...
Did I say that about this? Did I say
yeah.
It's the sound of despair and about this one?
Well, what about that emotion has made for such a compelling record?
I don't know. I mean, the despair is probably a strong word for it, but there's a lot of reflection on maybe some of the things that are cause a lot of anxiety, and whether they be romantic, you know, anxieties or social anxieties or existence anxieties. You know, this record particularly has a lot of rumination on death, you know, and the what it means to exist and what it means to not exist and stuff. And but I don't actually think of it as despairing in any way, or even gloomy or grim. It's kind of for me, the themes of this record are kind of fun and liberating, and even the ones that are about death. It's looking at the sort of other side of that. It's kind of hard to explain, but yeah, I don't think of this as a dark record, but everyone else seems to.
A lot of you have become fathers prior to this record. Did that change your outlook in you know, when it came time to put the record out, as far as the way you played or sang or wrote?
I think I have a 21-month-old daughter now, and writing music. When I was writing a lot of this music, Ingrid was a month old or something, and the thing it did do is sort of reawakens your imagination to the fact that music is very innate, and that you could tell there was some kind of response, or they're listening even when they're in the womb, really. So I kind of had this heightened sense of, I don't know, possibility and focus, kind of, because I often will play music in the house, and so it wasn't as though I was trying to entertain her, but I was aware that this might be some of the first music she ever hears, so that did have some kind of effect. And I think we didn't care as much because of that. Maybe there was more of an openness as far as what kind of songs we were writing, as there are loud rock songs like the ones we're known for, but there's also really beautiful laid back kind of songs also. So
Sufjan Stevens is on the record. What does he play, and why'd you pick him?
Sufjan is our neighbor and a really close friend, and he's actually been on our last three records, and he's just someone that my brother and I collaborate with a lot. We play on lots of his projects, and he's just a kind of genius musician. Really, he can play him anything, and he'll reharmonize it in his mind, and then say, "Well, why don't you just throw out all the chords and throw out all the parts and try this?" And so he'll do that. We usually keep like 1% of what he does, but you can hear it in the song "I Need My Girl." There's a harmony change 2/3 of the way through, and that's Sufjan who did that.
Don't Swallow the Cap is the first single off the record. What is the cap? What are you referring to?
I think in my head I was thinking of, like, I have a, you know, writing this record at a 3-year-old. I mean, by that point she wasn't, you know, but like, you know, bottle caps or whatever, the toothpaste capper, with some of it, a little bit, but then I also was thinking about the cap of a mushroom. There's some kind of like going down through the looking glass sort of vibes in that song. I don't think it's true, but apparently there's this concept that Tennessee Williams died by drinking a cap of some kind of heavy medicine. But I don't actually, I've heard that's not even true. But there's all these. I can't remember which one it is.
All three. You recently played a show that would have probably made the Grateful Dead blush, a 6-hour show at a museum. Do I have that right? What was the show?
We were invited. It wasn't our idea, but there's an Icelandic artist named Ragnar Kjartansson who does a lot of these like long repetitive sonic musical things, and he's done like an opera that's, you know, lasted for 12 hours, but one thing over and over again, not a full opera, just like one piece of it. So he became obsessed with our song Sorrow, and he pitched this idea to MoMA to have us come and play our song Sorrow over and over again for 6 hours, and we ended up playing it 108 times. And Aaron, did you enjoy it? I actually ended up liking it after a while.
Yeah, it was like a transcendent spiritual experience that we would usually laugh about, but actually everyone felt amazing afterwards. Although my back collapsed a few days later.
For a moment, going into it, we're like, is this just pretentious and dumb? And but the artist Ragnar is like, he's got a really he's got a weird sense of humor. He did one piece of one performance where he just had his mom spit in his face for like I think 6 hours or something like that. But it turns really silly. It turns really funny. So he was all his stuff is about sort of finding the joy and humor of repeating something kind of dark or negative over and over again. But not in like a painful way. It turned out to be kind of fun, kind of weird, moving, and funny. Yeah.
We are talking with the bands about album arts of their albums. We have Trouble Will Find Me up on the wall. I look at this and a couple of things come to mind. It almost seems like, you know, a woman's head coming out of a mouse hole or possibly looking at a cadaver. Explain what the album cover is.
It is. It was my sister got stuck in a mouse hole when I was a kid. No, that's not my sister. That is a it's a piece of art by this guy named Bo Yoon Yoon. He does installations and he uses mirrors and on people, naked people in their bodies and stuff like that. But that particular image, when we saw it, there's something about it. She's just laying down with a mirror that's cut with a, you know, cut over her head. So it looks sort of gruesome but silly at the same time and sexy and I don't know. There's just something about it that captured a bunch of conflicting ideas all in one weird little, you know, memorable image, and we felt that it was a good match with the record, because the record, on first blush and first listen, seems kind of dark and maybe grim, but the more you listen to it, you can hear the humor and you see the details of the weirdness of it and the fun in it. So I think that that's why we went with that picture. Yeah.
We're also asking people to pick out their favorite Beatles album cover based on the art. Aaron, do you want to start and pick out the one that draws your eyes to?
God, there are also so many of them are so classic. I like the ones with their faces so close, Rubber Soul and Let It Be. But my favorite album is Revolver by far. So as far as the music. Mm-hmm.
You gotta admit though, like if you look at Let It Be, it's kind of a bad album cover. I mean, it's just four dorky
looks so
shots
cool
of them.
Though.
I know, but I have to go with Sgt. Pepper's. That's like you can just like look at that and you know all the characters and all that. It's just weird and complicated and hilarious and twisted and kind of dark. You know, it's like are they all around a grave? What is that? You know. Sgt. Pepper's is my favorite, I think.
Matt and Aaron from The National, thank you so much for coming by. The record is called Trouble Will Find Me. We really appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
And that is it backstage at Bonnaroo.